2008, Lecture 14. Stem cells work purely by direction alone. Remission, complete healings, nothing is impossible. Stem cells affect health. Stem cells are not bound by good or bad, right or wrong. Stem cells respond solely to where enthusiasm and thought prevail. Our stem cells are kind of a fun thing for us to be aware of and to have and to use and to enjoy. And as we are aware and as we are enjoying them and as we have them, we put them to work in the best possible way. What is the best possible way that we could put our stem cells to work? What is the most powerful way that we could put our stem cells to work? What did we say just an hour ago was the best way to put our stem cells to work? Anyone have the answer? Yes? Tell them what to do, right? Huh? But what command? What command? We have a particular command. Yeah.
Yes.
We give them the command to return whatever it is that we have them work on to our original purity and integrity. And what is our original purity and integrity? That's the best, I guess. You know?
Wholeness and perfection.
Who can define it?
Wholeness and perfection.
Wholeness and perfection. Our original purity and perfection is wholeness and perfection. That's true. Right? Right?
Yeah.
You had a little doubt in your eye.
No, I don't.
Yeah. Okay. So, yes?
Whatever we think is done.
And only perfection remains. Right? What did you say?
I said that another aspect of the way we want them to perform is that whatever we think or say, we get it gone.
Yes, whatever our thought projects into our experience is gone or there. Whatever, if we project into our thought wholeness and perfection, that's there. If we project into our thought limitation or illness or anything, then that's there. And we do not want to empower a negative concept, right? We only want to give power to a positive attitude, right? How do we give power to a positive attitude? Yes? How?
By saying our word.
By saying our word. And what word is it that we say? Perfect. I'm whole and perfect. As long as we speak our word, I am whole and perfect. It's so easy to say, I wish, you know? And we want to get that out of our vocabulary, that I wish out of our vocabulary. We don't need that. And that doesn't get us anywhere good. It just tears us down. We want to express, I am whole and perfect. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. And my stem cells have one task for me, as far as I'm concerned. One task will do it. What's that? Return everything to the original purity and integrity. Return everything to the original purity and integrity. Not just one little area, but everything. Now, what is the original purity and integrity of our body, our mind, our spirit, our being? Ideal. It's the ideal. Now, how do we generate this ideal? How do we bring this forth in our experience? How do we have it and make it ours? How do we make that happen?
By seeing ourselves
what? By seeing ourselves whole. Okay. What about people who say they see themselves whole and they're not whole?
Because they have doubts.
But because of what?
They have doubts.
Oh. People who see themselves whole and are not whole are people who have doubt. Is that true? No, they don't have any doubt. If you'll excuse me. They're one pointed against themselves. they say they're whole and perfect, but they really are saying, I'm not whole and perfect. Why are you telling me you're whole and perfect? Because you're not. If you're whole and perfect, you're not going to tell me you're whole and perfect. If you're a good tennis player, you're not going to tell me you're a good tennis player. Yeah. No, it's silly, but that's the way it is, you know. Whatever you are, you don't tell anybody. I'm a man. I'm 6 foot tall, you know. I'm a happy person. I say that to myself because I'm generating that into my consciousness, but and also I'm recognizing it. But what is that all about? What is it that we say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect? We're saying that because we're not whole and perfect. When do we start saying, I'm whole and perfect, and mean that we're whole and perfect? I have such a wonderful memory. I have such a wonderful mind. I have such a wonderful memory. I have such a wonderful mind. You see, when you speak ideas like that into the picture, then you are putting that into force for yourself. Then you are endorsing that into your life. You're saying, I want that in my life. That's good, huh? Yes, that's good. That is good. I say that's good. Okay. Here we are. Stem cells work purely by direction alone. Do stem cells work purely by direction alone? And whose direction?
Me and my direction.
Oh, yeah? What if your wife is sitting next to you while you're sleeping and she says, dear, I would like to have a new dress. And you had discussed it with her and you didn't think she should have a new dress. At least she didn't think she should have the one she wanted to buy, the expensive one, you know. And so you said, you don't think so. But while you're sleeping, she plants in your consciousness, she says, dear, you want your wife to be the most beautiful lady in the world, and this dress would make me the most beautiful lady in the world. You want me to have this dress, and I know you want it, and I'm just so happy with you. You make me so happy wanting this dress. Now, what do you do in your consciousness?
I'll react to it.
You react to it, that's right. And you do react.
Of course.
Okay, now, that's just the dress idea. What about the other idea of your wholeness and perfection? Are you whole and perfect? And then the thing is, if you're not whole and perfect, and you keep subliminally telling yourself that you are, and you're not, you're going against what you are. Now, how can you get to be whole and perfect by saying, I'm whole and perfect, without going contrary to being whole and perfect? I know you're waiting for the answer. You get to be whole and perfect by not going contrary to being whole and perfect, by living in a world that is whole and perfect. Now, what did I tell you, and I tell you again and again and again? A person who is whole and perfect sees... Sees everybody else whole and perfect. A person who is rich sees everybody else rich. A person who is loving sees everybody else loving. A person who's friendly sees everybody else friendly. And a person who's whole and perfect sees everybody else whole and perfect. He doesn't say, I'm whole and perfect. He says to people, you're whole and perfect. He said, you are so beautiful. You do everything so wonderful. You're so fantastic. His reflection. But we are too humble to take that credit. That is our reflection. But it is just that, our reflection. Now, when we can start taking credit for what our reflection is, then great things happen. How does that work? What did Jesus say? He said, they say. They said, you're the king of the Jews. And he said, so they say. He didn't say, no, 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 no. If I say I'm the king of the Jews, you kill me. But he said, so they say. So, was he a master teacher at this? Could we learn something from that? What would we say when we see people who are beautiful? We say, I see you whole and perfect. I see you beautiful. I see you in every way, magnificent. You have to be whole and perfect to see them that way, right? If you are not whole and perfect, you can't see anybody whole and perfect. If you are not wonderful, you can't see people wonderful. Why do people who write reviews on stage plays write unhappy reviews sometimes? They write unhappy reviews because they're unhappy. They're unhappy people. They see everything unhappy. And that's a shame, isn't it? It really is a silly thing to do. It's a silly thing to do for people to see people unhappy. Now, when you see a stage play and you think it's poorly done and you write about it, what would the critic better do than to say the bad things about the play? To say the good things about the play. Was there nothing good about it? Surely there was. If the critic began to write about the good things of the play, people would go to the play and see the good things. If the critic wrote about the bad things of the play, the people would go to the play and see the bad things about the play. They would look for what the critic said, right? So if the critic says good things about it, they'll look for that, even though it's hard to find. But that's what a critic is for. He is to go into the very depths of whatever he's looking into and find the beautiful thing. Find that which is good about it. Now you have a body that should never have been born. It is just a mess. It's subject to everything else under the sun except what you want to be subject to. So you got this pile of trash here. Now what are you going to do? You're going to be a critic, and you're going to look for the good things about that pile of trash. And what are you going to find? You're going to find that this pile of trash is very wonderfully made. It's very special. It's a very special design. It can breathe, it can walk, it can move, it can do all sorts of beautiful things. It is a very special design. This body can think, this body can talk, this body can walk, this body can do all that. So praise the good. Now, what is it that made this body an ugly affair, if it's an ugly affair? What made this body an ugly affair was our thoughts. Our thoughts. If your father says to you, you're a mean little boy, you're good for nothing, then you have that garbage in you, and that's what you are. If your father was wise and he said, my goodness, you are quite something. You're a son that I'm so proud of. Everything you do is thoughtful, loving, and kind. You are just a magnificent boy. And he keeps saying it. He keeps saying it, regardless of whether the son is thoughtful and loving. He keeps saying it. And because he keeps saying it, what happens? It manifests. It manifests. Now, I say this to you, and psychology has said this to you for years and years and years. It said, that's the way it works. But do you do it? No. Here you are, an adult, with children around, and you treat those children like children, instead of treating them like young people, like little people. Little people who are absolutely perfect, and expect to draw out of them their perfection. And if you draw out of them their perfection, what are they going to give you? Their perfection. If you draw out of them your irritation, they're going to give you your irritation. It's just so simple and so definite and so wonderful. But how are you going to have the stem cells in you are willing to go to work to do anything. The stem cells in you can go into the sewer and clean up the sewer and make it absolutely perfect. And you don't have a sewer for a body. The stem cells can go into you, which is your wonderfully made body, your beautifully made body, your divinely made body, and return it to its original purity and integrity. And in returning it to its original purity and integrity, what's going to happen? It will become the ideal, or it will reflect the ideal that it already is. It will not necessarily become anything, because it already is that. But you didn't have the ability to see it, because you were looking at its problems rather than the beauty of it. I have such a wonderful memory. I have such a wonderful mind. Now, why do you have such a wonderful memory? My memory is not as strong as I'd like it to be, so I sing, I have such a wonderful memory. I am planting that seed in my consciousness, not because I have it, but because that is what I know is there and can be demonstrated, but it's not being demonstrated at the moment. Make sense? No. How are you going to let your stem cells do their job if you don't know what your job is? Your job is to be ideal. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. My ideal spirit, mind, and body. And we don't even know what that is, but we know it's good. So, we teach that to our stem cells. We say, stem cells, go to work. Bring out my original purity and integrity. Dig in there. Do whatever you must do. Now, we may kill this before we're done with it, but that's okay. If you have eggs and you're beating them up and you want nice scrambled eggs, it'll be nice scrambled eggs. But when you put a couple of teaspoons of vinegar in there, you have beautiful, fluffy scrambled eggs that are a delight to the eye and the tongue. Just magnificent. A little bit of vinegar. Now, what is the vinegar? The vinegar, you might say, is the white stem cells. The beautiful, undifferentiated stem cells waiting to go in there and bring out the magnificence of what those eggs are. The eggs were nothing, just ordinary scrambled eggs up to that point. But then, when we put in that vinegar, poing! So when the white stem cells, the pure, undifferentiated stem cells, go into your body by your choice and go into your body and start working on your behalf, what happens? Poing! Your original purity and integrity is shining forth. And do you have to always eat that vinegar to make your stem cells work? No, your stem cells work on another commodity, on thought. They work on thought. There is no physical substance that will make your stem cells work. Doctors attempt to take the stem cells and plant them into the brain or different organs to make them work, but they're not planting something into the stem cells to make it work. They're using the stem cell itself as a catalyst. It is the catalysator that makes the correction in the organ, in the lung, in the heart, in the liver, in whatever it's working on. Now, you were given an exercise, and at breakfast we talked about it. How many of you actually carried out the exercise? And very few of you. The reason very few of you did was because it was just a lot of talk. It was just a lot of talk that didn't mean anything, didn't stand up to anything. It wasn't important. I say to you, okay, outside the front door here is this piece of slate. And it's laying there, and underneath it is a box of gold. And you say, "Ooh-wee." So, at the pause, if anybody wants to go out there and get it, you can get it. So we go on with our talking. The pause comes, and you have absolutely forgotten the gold. You've absolutely forgotten it because I've taken your attention totally away from it. I have diverted your attention from that blessing, and you forgot about it. No. What is the reality of that pot of gold? It's there, but what's the reality about it? It is not yours. It belongs to somebody else. Maybe me, because I put it there, or maybe not me. But it belongs to somebody else. Is it yours? We own 104 acres up on the mountaintop, and we walk around the meditation paths, and occasionally people will come through our property with guns going hunting. And we'll say, there's no hunting allowed here. What do you mean? Well, we have this as a reserve for animals, you know. Well, what do you mean? I'd say, well, let's put it plain. Do you own this land? No, we do. So please leave. You see, they wanted to be spoken to simply and perfectly. They didn't want understanding. All they wanted to do was know what they had to do. They had to get off. I didn't mind them being on our land, but I didn't want them on our land with guns. Because I don't think that guns are necessary on our land, ever, or any land around us. Now, the larger thousands upon thousands of acres of BLM land around us, public land, also prohibits guns. And I don't know what this person felt they were doing, but coming on our land with guns, but that was their choice. But I had to explain it to them by telling it to them simply, do you own this land? No. Then please leave, it's ours. How do I know it's your land? Well, how do I know it's your land? You know, you don't need to know. If I tell you it's mine, believe me. I've never had anyone doubt me, but what if someone doubted me? And I said, please leave. What if someone doubted me? They had a gun in their hand. They were going to go hunting on my land. Do you think that they would shoot me? Do you think that they would aim the gun at me and say, I'm coming on your land, I'm going to go hunting? Do you think they would do that?
No, he will simply walk past you.
Hmm?
He will simply walk past you.
They, well, in the first place, they wouldn't come on trying to go hunting, because I've long since made that history. But they would not come on. I would not have to change their mind, because they would not be there to have it changed. Oh, one time, a young fellow was walking across the middle of our property, and I went over to him and I said, hi, where are you going? He said, oh, I live down the road here. I said, that's nice. And I said, you know, this is our property. He said, yeah, I know. And so, since he knew it was our property, he knew he shouldn't be there, I didn't say any more. I talked to him for a few minutes, then he went on his way. But I wasn't about to make a big deal of it. He knew it, I knew he knew it, and that's all that was necessary. Never saw him again. He was a neighbor, lived right nearby, never saw him again. We have a lot of neighbors who come in and visit. They come through the gate, and they call before they come usually, and then we have tea together or whatever and have a nice time. But the thing is, if it doesn't belong to you, you don't want it. That gold under that piece of slate under there, it doesn't belong to you. So when I told you about it, you had no eagerness to go and look. Curiousness, maybe to see if it really was there, but not to have it, because it didn't belong to you. Now, does perfect health belong to you?
Yes.
Does your original purity and integrity belong to you?
Yes.
How do you get your original purity and integrity into your life, sans stem cells? If you don't know about stem cells, how do you get them in?
They're there.
Oh, smarty, yeah.
You recognize that.
How do you get them in there? They're there. They're there already. Super. Now, how do you get them to do what you want them to do?
By communicating with them.
By what?
By communicating with them.
By calling case in world?
Communicating with them.
By talking to them.
By talking to them. Very good. By talking to them.
The first thing, you must recognize that they are there.
We.
You must recognize that they are there.
We must. The stem cells must recognize they're there, or we must recognize
them.
We must recognize the stem cells are there. Yeah, like Sam was saying. He said, when we recognize the stem cells are there, that's the first step. Then, what do we do with it?
You now communicate. You talk to them.
Then, we take Chitterby, who's a stem cell, and we say, Chitterby, this is what we want. Right?
Yes.
This is what we want. Chitterby, in this house, we hang up our clothes. Chitterby, in this house, we do this, that, and the other thing. Chitterby, in this house, these are our programs for things that we do. And Chitterby says, good, I'm a stem cell. I'm willing to do anything you say, anything you want me to do. Yeah, nice. I'm willing to do anything you want to do. Just tell me, tell me, tell me. And then he said, Mom, I know you're my mom. I'm a stem cell and you're my mom. I know that, you know. He says that. And so he says, Mom, would you mind if I cleaned up the house, if I break the yard, if I wash the windows, if I did these things, would you mind? And she says, yes. First you do your homework. Okay. So he does his homework. And then he comes up and says, Mom, I'm all done. Can I clean the house now? Yes, you can. But you see, she makes all the things a treasure, a prize. so that when he does anything around the house, it is something very special, very wonderful. And he likes it, she likes it, everybody likes it. This is how we treat our stem cells too. We tell them what we want done. The stem cells will enjoy doing whatever they do. The stem cells will enjoy joining the aged cells of our body, where we are aging and getting older and older and older. And the stem cells will just become one of those cells and look at life from that point of view. Or the stem cells will be told by you, I am ageless. I am ageless. And the stem cell will say, oh, that's true. And then the stem cell will clean out of the original purity and integrity any thought of aging. The thought of aging will no longer be in the body. The body will be immortal. That's true. And as the body is immortal, it expresses that in every beautiful way. Now, as the stem cell learns what the road is, what the rules are, what the program is, and follows it, we are the benefactors. We are the blessed ones. The things are for us. Now, are you there? Do you want that? Do you want to experience that? Do you want to have that joyful experience? Yeah. How do you get that joyful experience? Are there any stem cells in you right now? How many stem cells have you got in yourself?
10,000.
I'm sorry?
10,000.
In your brain. Daily in your brain. But in your whole body? Ooh. More than you could ever count. More than you can ever think about. And what are all those stem cells doing right now? All your stem cells that are in your body that are just waiting for you to tell them what to do and you've been sleeping. Now, what are those stem cells doing? They're joining the other cells. Hmm? Say again?
They're waiting for my command.
They're waiting for your command.
Yes.
And are you going to give it to them?
Yes.
What are you going to tell them? Your wish is my command. What are you going to tell them? I didn't follow that. What are you going to tell them?
I tell them what I want them to do.
Oh, you tell them what you want them to do. What do you want them to do? I mean, like pretend that you're really talking to the stem cells right now, which you are.
Yes, I'm ageless.
You are what? Ageless. You're ageless. You're whole and perfect. That's good. That's good. You're ageless. Is that good? Is that good?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. You're whole and perfect. Is that good? Very good, right? Yeah, thank you. Do you understand me clearly? I'm barking about you guys, saying that I'm not always understanding you. Do you understand me clearly when I speak?
Yes.
All of you. Good.
Yes.
Because sometimes on the ranch, the girls say, "We can't hear you, Herb." And I say, "I wonder why." Because sometimes they whisper among themselves and they talk so quietly. I say, okay, if you guys want to have your own conversation, go ahead. Otherwise, speak clearly so I can understand you. Because they too get slovenly. And you know what they do? They are so proud of the fact that they were Swiss and German and Italian. And they like to speak with the Swiss, German, and Italian dialect. And I say, no, no, no. Here on the campus, it's all pure English. Pure, beautiful English that's easily understood by anybody. And they do pretty good, by and large. But they do forget occasionally, and they do forget while they're being sort of cute, you know. You know what the word cute means? When you're little girls are cute when they're wearing their little dresses, you know. And they go around with their adult dresses while they're 2 or 3 years old, you know. And they got these pretty dresses that mama dresses them up with, and that's cute. But when girls or people speak in dialect, they think it's cute. They think, oh, isn't that charming? Isn't that delightful that you speak in dialect? Well, it's not. It's not. Ellen was in the supermarket the other day, and she was behind another lady who had a basket, and there's a little boy was standing in the basket. And he's maybe about 3 years old. And the little boy looked at Ellen and said hello. And Ellen detected an Italian dialect in his language. And she said to him in Italian, "Do you speak Italian?" And he's, and in Italian, he says, "Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, mommy, this lady speaks Italian." And so then the mother, who didn't speak Italian, she spoke French. And so she spoke French to Ellen, and Ellen spoke French to her. And then when she hears someone in German, she speaks German to them. Or Switzerdeutsch, she speaks that with them. And, but she speaks a clear Switzerdeutsch, a clear German, a Hochdeutsch, which is the precise German, the precise language, easily understood. And wherever she goes, and the little kid says, "Wow, you speak all those languages, I do too." And he's only about 3 years old. And Ellen says, "How come you speak them?" "Well, my dad is a diplomat and we travel to different countries all the time. And in every country, he said, if we're going to be in that country, we learn the language. And so around the dinner table, we're talking that language, you know, all the time. And it's quite nice, you know." And so the mother was standing there, and she was French. But she wasn't quite as thrilled about it as the boy. But the boy picked up the languages, tip, 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 because he didn't know they were difficult to learn. Interesting, huh?
No.
And he loved it.
Is there any situation where the stairs will not pick up a command?
What's that?
Is there any situation when the stem cell will not obey our command?
When the stem cells
will not obey any command.
Oh, the question is there something the stem cells cannot heal?
Yes.
Is there something that the stem cells will not follow of our command? And what do you think the answer is, anybody?
That's not interesting.
Because I got all of us here as our new stem cells. And we give you commands, you don't carry them out.
Because you doubt that I will not obey it.
Then
I'm
not obeying.
In other words, you're asking, do the stem cells?
As stem cells, I don't obey commands. They're not stem
cells.
No, as you
know, they go for our command.
And then he gives the command, we didn't see it to happen.
This one here?
She's two of the program. Of this program.
Second, this one. This one here? Oh, that's where we have our question.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Boobity-boobity-boobity-boo.
I'm referring to the stem cells that do not obey command.
They eat through the question batteries.
Yes. So I want you to respond.
Yeah. If you doubt my response, I will not obey. Yes.
Do the stem cells, thank you, do the stem cells respond to our commands? And the stem cells do respond to our commands, but do we know the commands to give to the stem cells? Do we give the stem cell a command that we want? And we have to be very careful. And I have mentioned it to you and will again. Whenever we have a negative command, the stem cell doesn't take it negative. They take it that's the way. They take it that's the way. Now, Sam is standing at the edge of the swimming pool. And his little boy is swimming in the swimming pool. And he's learning how to swim. And Sam says to the little boy, "Don't you dare swim across that pool." Because he hasn't learned how yet. And the little kid says, "Oh, he wants me to swim across the pool." So he swims across the pool. You see, don't you dare swim across the pool. It became swim across the pool. Because that's how he heard it, and that's how he responded to it. And that's what our stem cells do. Our stem cells, here, don't you dare. And then they go and do it. They don't understand this convoluted English. And it is convoluted. Very confusing. But it's a lot of fun. No. How can we train ourselves to, at all times, speak our word positively for what we want? How can we train ourselves? Stem cells are not bound by good, bad, right, wrong. Stem cells respond solely to enthusiasm and thought. Now, how do we get the stem cells to respond to what we want, and how do we move away, if you will, from having the dualism in there? We get the stem cells to respond to what we want by our responding to what we want. Now, this is a thing that I have taken umbrage with. The way the royal family in England and other places run their royal family. I think that a royal family should be a royal family. That's what you got the royal family for, is to be a royal family. And the royal family should raise their children as royal children. They should be raised in the role model of playing royal family. Now, playing the role model of a royal child means that you are not associated with the not royal children, the commoners. And if the royal family is associated with the commoners, the royal family is going to act like the commoners and live like the commoners and be like them. If the royal family is going to remain with the royal family and the royal tradition, it's not going to have any guests, any visitors who are not royal. It will visit the royalty of other nations. It will visit the royalty of itself. It will only remain in that royalty. And now you say, well, that's not very nice. Well, yes, it is. It's very nice. That's what really counts. Because the royal children of Prince Charles should not have been associating with the commoners, and yet they were. And what do we read about them in the newspaper? We read about them being in the bar. We read about going out disco dancing. We read about going out and all of the stupid things that royalty should not be doing. Well, why shouldn't royalty be doing it? Because that is not a royal act. That is not a royal act. It's not a wrong act, but it's not a royal act. Now, when you go before royalty, what do? You genuflect. What does genuflect mean? You bow, you curtsy to the royalty. When you go with your friends, you bow and curtsy to them. They'll think you're kind of silly. But before royalty, you do that. Now, why do you do that before royalty? Because that's expected. That's part of the program. Now, when the royal mother gets angry at her family, she's a very silly lady. When the royal mother sees the family doing something that is not acceptable, she just immediately sends them to their room. But no, the newspapers and magazines have to all hear about it and make a big fuss about it. And it's okay. But the thing that's not okay is that the queen doesn't send them to their room and keep them there. Now you go to your room until you're ready to behave, until you're ready to act like a royal member of this royal family, until you're ready to follow the program that we have. We are the role model for the entire English domain and all of Great Britain. We're the role model. And that's why they want us as king, queen, and princes and so forth. They don't want us, the king, queen, and princes, to run the country like the king and queen might have done before, but they didn't run it either, did they? Who ran the country in years ago with kings and queens? Who? Who?
The
ministers, right? What did you say?
The parliament.
No. This is sort of before parliament, when the king was running the show. I guess they had parliament then too, but the parliament does very little.
The dukes, the barons that run, before democracy.
What the king and royalty do now is to just be a symbol. What the king and royalty did years ago was to run the country pretty much. But they had their ministers who guided them and directed them and who tried to scuttle them oftentimes and hurt them in doing things. But a king that was on top of it was never scuttled, never bothered, never hurt. And today, the king and queen only have the responsibility to act like kings and queens, and to be at royal functions and to be a royal thing. And they read the royal papers, they read what Parliament does, and they comment on it, but their comment isn't taken into account because the thoughts of the king and queen are not taken into account because the king and queen are not active with their people. The king and queen do not go to church with their people. They do not go to the grocery store and buy things with their people. They do not go out in everyday affairs. They don't know what the people think and what they do. They have no idea. The legislature has even less, but they have no idea what's going on in the country. They have informants who keep them aware of certain things, but if the informants themselves are not reliable, then what do the king and queen have? Now, the king and queen have a role model to play. And if they play their role model perfectly, if they raise their children in the castle, so to speak, or in the royal community only, then these children will be royal themselves. But if they let them associate with the stem cells, if they take the stem cells and they let them associate with the commoner cells, they'll become a commoner cell, won't they? Unless the queen gives them an ultimatum. If the queen says to her royal family, the stem cells, now you go out and associate with the commoners and change them all into their original purity and integrity, wow, wouldn't that be something? Now that's the purpose of the royal family. Now, I should probably write a book on this, but that's the purpose of the royal family. The purpose of the royal family is not to associate with the commoners, but to be a catalyst in the commoners, with the commoners, for what the royal family is. Returning the commoners to their original purity and integrity like the royal family is. Make sense?
Yes.
Quite something, isn't it? Now, why don't they do that? Why does the royal family not live in that attitude? They don't live in that attitude because they don't know what their job is.
Their role, yes.
They don't know.
Their role.
Yeah, they sure did. They forgot their role. They forgot their rules. They forgot what a king and queen is supposed to be. And in fact, really, they forgot it. And who do they have teaching and training their children? They have nannies and they have instructors from the outside who may not know what the royalty is. They should have people in the royal palace who are trained as instructors to teach their children so that the royal family and the royal concepts are always there. Now, Herb, why are you spending so much time on this particular idea? I'm spending so much time on this particular idea because you are the royal family. You are the royal family, and you have your stem cells, which is your royalness, and you implant your stem cells in all of the people to return them to their original purity and integrity. What if all of England, all of Great Britain, were to return to its original purity and integrity, to what the idealism of what royalty means is? What if they were returned to that? What would happen? There'd be no crime in Great Britain. There would be no untowardness. There'd be no disrespect. There would always be respect. There would be no attitude in Great Britain of people thinking that they have a right to steal or hurt from other people. And what the parliament would do would be a parliament of the people, for the people, about the people's interests. But it would be from the royal point of view. What is the royal point of view? Giving them an honor, respect, giving them the goodness. So how could that ever happen? How could that ever happen? Why does England hold on to a king and queen? Why does Holland hold on? Why does Sweden hold? Why do these countries in the world who hold on to these type of royalty do it? And they really are no more than figureheads. They hold on to them because they want that role model for the people of being a royal country, of a country of dignity, a country of magnificence. But they forget you have to do it all the way. You have to do it all the way. You have to train all of your cells, all of your commoners, to follow their original purity and integrity. Can you imagine a nation, a royal nation, training its commoners in their original purity and integrity? Wouldn't that be something? Now, they tried to do that to a degree with required education, that everyone must go to school until they're so many years old, haven't they? And now they're giving education to children who are excelling and giving them advanced education. which is a very wise thing to do, because these are the kids who come up with these super ideas to take care of the world's economy, the world's ecology. It's really quite beautiful. Now, in this, where do you play? What role are you playing on this game? Are you playing on this game that you are part of the royal family? Are you playing that you are returning your stem cells or your ordinary cells to their original purity and integrity? Are you looking at yourself as a role model for your world? I could speak about each one of you, but looking at Sam and Seville, how are they a role model for their children? Do their children respect them? Do their children honor them? Do their children follow whatever they tell them to do? By and large. Some do, some don't, but by and large they do. Now, those that do are what? They are children who are living by their stem cells. Those that don't are children that were mixing with the commoners too early in their life. You know? They were mixing with the common people too early in their life. And when they mixed with the common people too early in their life, then they had problems. Now, are you going to feed that baby? Now, isn't it interesting? Daddy held the baby, and the baby didn't say a word. And somebody else takes the baby, and the baby has a lot to say. Yes, sir, Michael, what did you want to say?
I once lost a job.
You want
for
what?
For one reason, yeah, lost a job. The reason I lost the job was that I was employed as a sub-boss, as a leader of a lot of workers. But my boss, he stays at a distance all the time watching me, unknown to me. He said, Michael, you are always talking with workers. Play with them. Don't play with them. Don't discuss with them. But I could not help it. Maybe to my own nature, I always play and talk. No, Michael, you're doing a very good job, but you keep talking. You don't talk with them. When you talk with them, you bring them to your level, and they will not respect you. For that, you're fired. Just like that. It's this discussion about role models, about the royal family and the commoners. Because when a person loses his focus, he will drop. The prestige will not be there anymore. The honor is no longer there.
They drag you down.
So, well, don't talk to them. Don't play with them. Leave them alone. Just keep them orders.
Physician, heal thyself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, physician, heal thyself. You have many friends who are on another area of thinking. They're not bad. They're just normal, ordinary Nigerians doing the Nigerian jig. You know. You are doing a special jig. You are doing a special dance. And your dance follows a different beat, different drummer, different music. And you follow that. You see, what you're telling us right now is what you are fighting in yourself right now. You're fighting in yourself that you're going to lose all these friends that you've had, and all these people that you've known, because they're looking at life from a different point of view. And it's true. And this happened a long time ago with you. You have come here with many different people, all of whom were very beautiful, very wonderful, but this is not their thing. This is not their way. And that's okay. But the thing is, you brought these people hoping that they would be touched by your philosophy. You have one role to do in life, Mr. Michael. Your role is to live what you believe. Whatever it may be, live what you believe. And as you live what you believe, all the people that come into your consciousness, all the people that come into your world, all the people that come into any part of your world, will be who you are. And you won't have to change them. You won't have to wish that they would believe like you do. They don't believe like you do. When you are 100% in the awareness of who they are. Now, are you in 100% in the awareness of who you are?
Right now. Yes.
Right now. Do you know that you are the king stem cell?
Yes.
And that you're guiding your entourage into the direction you want to go?
Yes.
Okay, now, are there people who are going to look upon your entourage, look upon your kingly role, and say, Michael, I remember you when? Michael, I knew you yesterday. Michael, you had a different point of view yesterday. Michael, you look silly in those pants, you know. And what's going on? They are not in your world anymore. They're not in your world. So you, Michael, you come up with a beautiful idea. And the idea, let's say, is computers. And so you create computers. And as you create computers, all your other friends say, Michael, why are you working on those computers? Why are you bothering those computers? No, that's not why. Come with us. Go to the bar. Go dancing. Go do this. Go do that. And you say to them, I love this stuff. I love these computers. It's not that you don't love it or that you don't love them. You love the computers. So then you stay with the computers and you work with them. Now, your friends disappear because you're not giving them any time. And your new friends come who are interested in what you're interested in. They're interested in computers. And so there are new friends and it's a new relationship. And the old goes away and atrophy by itself. It just dissolves by itself. And the new comes in almost unperceived because it was so gentle. But if you have a dream, a goal, and that goal includes whomever and does not include whomever, then if you try to include people who are not included in your goal, you'll just fight a losing battle and be very unhappy. And I don't think that's what you want to do. So be careful that you verbalize, that you state, think, or even do anything else about people who are not where you are. Not that you're above them or below them, but they're not where you are in your thought experience. You are on a special level of thought. And that thought is that everyone is beautiful and everyone is good and everyone is divine and you're divine. Right? Okay. Pretty nice, huh? Okay. Now, does that help you at all on your program?
Yes.
Does everyone see what we're doing here? And what are we doing here? We are coming to the awareness of just who and what we are and how we are and how we're doing it. And it's fantastic. So, now, we have a couple minutes left before we are supposed to adjourn. Does anyone...
2 minutes.
2 minutes?
Yes.
2 minutes?
2 minutes, yes. Two.
I said that. We have a couple. A couple is two. Isn't a couple two? Of course, now we've only got one. Is there a 1 minute question? If not, prepare yourself for a lovely lunch and be ready for the entrance of this beautiful lady. She always comes in with an entrance. You notice that? Lovely. You're fantastic. I love you. I should really get up for all these hugs, but I don't. Okay. That's it. We're shut off here. And if any of you have any questions, we'll take them when we can.